All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number.
I didn't know you wanted to sing an intro.
Well, so we had a little technical difficulties. Now it's Wednesdays at 10 o'clock. So Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action Hour, is upon us. But before we go to Dr. Craig, Maggie's going to hang around with us for a segment. And I want to go to the phone lines. And Bob from Wisconsin's East Coast, he had a question or comment. Bob, thank you very much for the call. Thank you for listening. You say what?
Well, good morning, Earl and Maggie.
Hi, Bob.
Good morning.
I am caught with the idea concept of what we need in Wisconsin is inclusiveness and faith and hope. Mm. Inclusiveness and hope. That when we include people in our society, they will benefit all of us. And when they have hope, they will be less likely to do violent things out of their hopelessness. And when the least of us, at least of those among us, benefit, they will benefit all of us. So the wealthy are myopic in not seeing this because they will benefit immensely in the investment in the poorest among us.
Love that, Bob.
Can't argue with that, man. Thank you very much for the call. Thank you very much for listening.
Well, I think he puts his finger on something that's really important, and that is in to summarize or sort of distill a lot of what the rhetoric means from the right. What they're branding is that it's all a zero sum game, right? That it's you versus them. That if anybody else gets helped a little bit, it means that you must give something up or that you will be hurt. And that's not the way society works. It just isn't. Bob is exactly right. It's not a zero-sum game, and it's a saying for a reason that high tides raise all ships. I mean, that is so true. It's fundamentally the ethos and what drives the mission in Milwaukee County, which is by achieving racial equity, Milwaukee County will become the healthiest county in Wisconsin. We can only do that by ensuring that the people that are most acutely at risk have the resources that they need to live a hope-filled life. I agree with you, Bob.
So let's do this. Let's bring on Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action. Good morning to you, Dr. Craig. What's going on? It was good seeing you the other night.
Yeah, I feel like I just saw you again in person Monday night, so that was great.
Yeah, you know, Maggie Dawn is going to be joining us every Wednesday morning before you. Are you familiar with Maggie Dawn?
I guess I know of her, don't know her, but right. I've heard good things.
Corporate Counsel of Milwaukee County, they're great things, and she's a great addition to what we are doing. Let's talk a little bit, Dr. Craig, because I was having this conversation with Maggie earlier. If you listen to the governor's State of the State address on last night, and I heard some things said that I thought certainly needed to be said and that we all want to happen that will make overall the state of Wisconsin a better place. And then after that, the other side clearly stated, well, he's not going to get, you know, those things through because we're in charge. Dr. Craig, how do you even begin? You and I have had these conversations about whether or not the governor can convince the legislature that the things he's talking about are sometimes in the best interest of most of the people in the state, yet didn't matter what he had to say, it was shot down immediately.
Well, we know them. We know who they are, right, Earl? When
right.
people tell you who they are, believe them. Believe that with Toni Morrison, but maybe I may be giving credit to the wrong person.
It was Toni Morrison.
Yeah. I get it right. And they're going to use all their power. So we need to use all of ours. And what is Governor Evers' power? He does have the bully pulpit, which he used last night, and he has the veto pen. And in fact, he can use the veto pen in a way that denies them things they very much want until they are willing to actually negotiate rather than simply claim they're in charge and it's their way or the highway, which is what they will do as long as we let them. So it's unfortunate. I know how Governor Evers would like to work in a bipartisan way, and he feels that deeply and with the best of intentions. He does not have a partner. And so he is either, it really is a question of capitulation or showing, or really facing them down. When you talk about his big initiatives like public school funding, like mental health services, especially since every time there's a mass shooting, the right comes and says it's a mental health problem, but then they won't do anything about the mental health crisis in this country. And the state won't do anything about the fact that mental health services are delivered primarily by counties and they're being defunded in the shared revenue system so that the services are being cut and cut and cut. I think those are popular things that if you vetoed parts of the budget and had an impasse during the summer, that it would reveal them to the public for who they are, and it would ultimately make them come to the table and actually compromise with the governor and allow some advances.
My brother, I mean, yes, and thank you for, again, hitting the point about that so much of what I would call critical care is provided through counties, and that the reason that the state is sitting on a $6.6 billion surplus is because they have drained Milwaukee County and the city of Milwaukee of the funding that is needed to provide those essential life-saving services. Couldn't be more accurate. And I also agree with you, Dr. Craig, to say that it is time for the Evers administration to actually play some hardball politics. Sharpen your pencils. Couldn't agree with you more. There is, on the left side of the aisle, right, we talk about bipartisanship. I think there always should be a good faith effort made. But we need to have plans B, C, and D. And that is hard nose politics. And we have to be ready to do that and to do that in a way, as you said, Dr. Craig, to reveal what it is that is motivating the Republican Party, what their values are. And their values are not aligned with helping middle class Wisconsinites or middle class Americans. And it sure isn't helping those of us at greatest risk and in greatest need.
That's great. I couldn't agree more. And here's the thing. Not only should we start with good intentions, when we don't do that, we're falling down on the public education role in democracy.
Yes.
If we don't actually have the governor stand them down and have, say, a budget impasse of some kind, it could be short, where there's focused public attention, focused media attention, most of the public won't know what they're against, what they're doing, and that's a disservice to the public. A lot of folks who should know that before they go to the ballot box don't, because we're not doing our job of drawing clear lines, especially when this is a minority legislature. It's illegitimate gerrymandered districts, and it feels free to act in unpopular ways. You know, Robin Voss said at the beginning of the term he wanted to have a caucus that was more in line with public opinion. Well, then he comes out and immediately says that things are non-starters that are wildly popular and incredibly in the public interest.
You mean like medical marijuana and recreational marijuana? I was like, Robin, if you're for the people yeah. want their weed. What are you doing, man?
Badger care expansion. I mean, exactly. Everything that they're against. Yeah.
You know, both you guys really so eloquently can explain the differences between both sides in this. And you know, Dr. Craig, Citizen Action, you guys expanded into rural parts of the state. We are still in this situation where, unfortunately, rural people seem to believe that those of us who live in cities are the enemy, and we're the reason that they are struggling and suffering. And just somehow we've got to be able to get those people who live in rural America to understand the people in the city aren't the enemy. You know, we have to deal with issues. Maggie is the corporate counsel of Milwaukee County. She knows the impact of the legislation that Republicans have crafted that is choking off resources that are impacting and affecting people who live in Milwaukee County. It's not just the rural areas. It is what is happening in the urban centers across the nation, Maggie.
Well, and the broken shared revenue formula hurts those rural counties as well. This is a statewide problem. That formula it didn't really work well about 10 years out after it was adopted. And certainly it is not working statewide, and those impacts are felt most acutely in Milwaukee County. But I think James Baldwin once said, effectively, and I hate to put it in these terms, and I'm going to butcher the quote, right? If you give the white man anybody else to look down upon, it doesn't matter how alike they are, he'll look down upon that other person. And that's been a lot of the underlying sort of contextualization that's done now very much out loud by Republicans to sort of separate, or at least suggest that there's a separation of interest between rural folk and urban folk that are struggling. There's not. Poor folk have a yes. unity of interest, right? Poor folk need good education, middle class supporting jobs, and healthcare. Access to health care, right? Thank you, Robin Voss and the Republicans, for again refusing to do what is such an obvious no-brainer, and that's expand Badger Care. That helps people in Milwaukee. That helps people in Portage. That helps people in Ashland. It helps all Wisconsinites. Shame on you.
All right. That's Maggie Dawn, the Dawn of Resistance, 9 o'clock every Wednesday morning before Dr. Robert Craig. What a 1-2 punch. Got to go to a break. Dr. Craig, hang on. We'll be right back to you. 844-967-2789. We'll be back. Oh,
you
and Dr. Craig. At 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's 10 o'clock hour. That means Executive Director of Citizen Action and my guest every Wednesday at 10 o'clock is Dr. Robert Craig, a good friend. Dr. Craig, I've been talking about this, and I have to bounce it off of you all morning. How are we going to be able to heal this rift nationally, on a state level, this divide that is insidious now between the Republican Party and the Democratic Party, at a time that our nation at some point in time is going to need a healing? How are we going to be able to bring it together when, after Governor Evers' address last night, right away it was met with basically, this is not going to happen. You know, those things he's talking about, we're not going to let happen. Whether or not they benefit people who are in the rural areas or in the urban centers, we all need that support. We all need our government at a time when they're sitting on $6.5 billion, Dr. Craig, to basically have people in the Republican Party saying, well, they want to spend money. Governor Evers wants to spend money, and we don't want him to spend it. I mean, I don't understand that, Dr. Craig. It's going to help them in the rural area.
Well, they have a radical anti-government ideology that is inappropriate for the 20th century, let alone the 21st century. That's out of the era of stagecoaches. Even then, it was problematic. It really is. And here's the thing. They want to slash government services to give massive tax cuts to the people who fund their campaigns, the ultra-wealthy, the greediest of the large, powerful corporations. But then in order to get a popular base, they have to use division and hatred and cultural issues. And that is their playbook. So they get folks by building up hatreds to support things not in their interest, that is, average voters. If you follow the money, to quote Deep Throat in the Watergate scandal, what he told Woodward and Bernstein, the reporters, you will see the money goes to the people who pay the piper, right? As far as what we do, you're asking a very profound question, because you can see this partisan contest, which has become abnormal, because there's a normal partisan division. This is one that is supercharged to the point of putting the country into paralysis. I mean, we are currently not paying the country's national debt, and the Treasury Department has had to go to emergency measures, and the Republicans in the House, McCarthy, are using it, holding the world economy and the U.S. economy hostage to try to get massive cuts to social programs, including Social Security and Medicare, according to a major report in the Washington Post yesterday, that they're planning that. And there's a group of Republicans in the House moving that, just like Ron Johnson promised us, and none of people believed he would actually follow through on in this last election.
No, they didn't believe it because they voted for him.
Right. And so here's the thing. It's a metaphor to say ethnic conflicts, international conflicts. But the question is, how do you stand up to the bully, right, without becoming the bully? And that is really hard because the contest itself changes you. So we need to keep in mind that this is not normal. We don't want to be perpetuated, that there is an off-ramp for anyone on the other side who wants to work constructively, right? And not make it about making, like what Tim Michels said, the gubernatorial candidate, making the Republicans a permanent minority party. That's not healthy. We need to have a two-party system. There needs to be a conservative party. Rather, to say that this Republican Party, that the people who have taken it over, cannot rule because they're a threat to democracy, a threat to the country, right? A threat to the lives and livelihoods of every American. And that's where drawing lines and then educating the public is critical. And it goes back to, it was great, what they call that in the radio biz, I'm sure you know, Earl, is transition, like between segments.
Yes.
In the transition with Maggie, we talked about that. It drops public education. When Governor Evers signs their budget and doesn't draw clear lines and doesn't create a controversy by vetoing major portions of the budget to force negotiations and compromise, it doesn't become clear to the public exactly how unpopular the Republican Party's agenda is, because they will run back to the voters and say they're pro-education, that they want to do something about mental health, that they want to provide universal broadband. They don't. They just want to give more subsidies to telecom companies with no accountability, which is why we don't have universal broadband, which is horrible for rural areas. It makes them economically uncompetitive, makes people move from them instead of to them in our virtual digital world. And they don't know that because we're not drawing these lines. I think one of the fundamental duties of leaders that a lot of political consultants have gotten elected officials murky on, because everything's about positioning yourself politically, you have a duty to educate the public and to make it really clear by your stance when the other side is not acting in the public interest. And that's not being done when we muddy the waters, right? When we allow them to claim credit for things they're actually undermining, which is what they will do, what any politician, unfortunately, will do.
Dr. Craig, hold the thought. Jacob from Eureka, hang on. Got to go to a break. 844-967-7425. 2789 is the number. You tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. Dr. Robert Craig, of the Executive Director of Citizen Action. It's his hour. We'll be right back. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's Wednesday. That means Wednesdays with Dr. Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action. Let's go to Jacob from Eureka, California. Hey, Jacob, thank you very much for waiting. Thank you very much for the phone call. You say what?
Darryl, I could talk about Tony Evers, but first I just want to offer my opinion, which is you have the best bumper music in the business. I mean, well, Luther Vandross.
Yeah, that's Connor, awesome. Man. That's Connor. I agree with you, by the way, but go ahead.
Well, you know, I did not watch the State of the State speech by Governor Evers, but I did read some news reports about it afterwards. And I got to tell you, in those news reports, there was no mention of banning assault weapons, no mention of, you know, legalization of marijuana, no mention of supporting a woman's right to choose and making sure abortion remains a woman's right, a constitutional right in the state of Wisconsin. I'm a little concerned that Governor Evers, I know his, you know, his tendencies as a politician are more along the lines of an Obama or a Biden. Somebody wants to bend over backwards to work with the other side to bring, you know, common ground together, and that's wonderful. But you just got reelected. I mean, this is the time to confront the Republicans in the state legislature and hold them accountable. And if they want to fight on cultural issues, fine. Fight on the cultural issues where the vast majority of the public is on our side. You know, I know he's a really nice guy, Governor Evers, but sometimes it's your job to not be a nice guy.
Jacob, hang on. You sound like my good friend, Dr. Craig. Dr. Craig?
Jacob is right on. I mean, I once had a conversation with Governor Evers, and I don't want to overstate it, but I did say to him, I thought he tried to do everything he could to be bipartisan. He didn't have someone who would do it back. They just threw it back in his face. And he needed to change tactics in order to achieve his agenda, which he believes very strongly about. He does want to serve the people of the state. That's why he does this job. And he hesitated and said that, unfortunately, thought I was probably right, but he sounded so reluctant about saying that, I wondered if he'd actually do it. And I think the problem is that because he was just reelected, he thinks that that the public has validated his approach the first 4 years. I just think, I doubt he wants to run for a second term, that this is his, not only is this his legacy, he wants to leave the state in a much stronger position, and that he needs to change course. And Jacob, I could not agree more. There needed to be assault weapons ban. There needed to be something on marijuana, both not only extremely popular, but extremely important issues. And there are other issues he could have taken on. There's a healthcare cost crisis in the state, which is bankrupting. It's still the leading cause of bankruptcy. And I don't see any agenda item for that. Badger care expansion is necessary, but it's about filling a coverage gap for the working poor, which is very necessary. It's not about addressing the skyrocketing cost of healthcare and prescription drugs for everyone else.
So, Dr. Craig, do you think it's because the governor is not a politician? He's not a pure or true politician. That's not who he's ever been. And because of that, do you think that in some way, shape, or form, that kind of shows when it comes to these kinds of moments?
See, I think he is a politician, but the most effective politicians are those that don't seem like politicians.
Okay.
It's what makes Governor Evers his effectiveness, but he takes advice from very conventional folks who are mostly concerned about his opinion polls and where they stand,
right,
not about ultimately what the governor is going to achieve in the next 2-year budget. Understanding that if the Supreme Court changes hands, that's in the balance this spring, we could actually have fair maps, and setting up issues where they reveal themselves matters. It matters a great deal, but matters even more than before right now, because all these folks could be thrown into very competitive districts as they march forward on a very unpopular agenda. But I think the governor does his job to draw those lines and to actually challenge them and use all of his constitutional powers, because we know they will use every ounce of their constitutional powers, and if they need to, they'll try to use powers they don't have.
So Dr.
Such as the whole controversy, Earl, about them having appointees from Walker stay on after their terms when
right.
they're refusing to confirm Evers' appointments. That's extra constitutional. That's not just using all your power.
So Dr. Craig, is it safe to say that, and we know that the governor of the state of Wisconsin has almost more power than any other governor anywhere else in the country, because Republicans gave that to Scott Walker, never thinking that there would ever be a time when Republicans would not be in charge. And so the governor sits here with the most powerful veto pen anywhere. Do you think he's used it enough, or the threat of using it enough? We've got $6.5 billion sitting there. What are your thoughts about what's going to happen with that?
He has used it effectively to his credit, and he needs to be given credit where credit's due on some horrendous scandal.
Overreaches, bills. Right.
But what he hasn't used it on is the state budget. And, in fact, he signed a regressive tax cut last time, calling the middle class tax cut because he thought that would, you know, stand him in good stead for the election. In fact, and of course, they're back for more. Robin Voss is saying he wants to do tax cuts first, not second. He won't talk about any additional spending. Voss and his colleagues do point out rightly that a lot of this $6 billion is one-time money. I mean, we may end up having a recession or at least an economic downturn. Quite frankly, a lot of this money has to do with what President Biden was able to do.
Right.
And I would say that President Biden, despite his having similar instincts as Governor Evers, has been a whole lot bolder than Evers has been. I mean, Evers, I know, respects President Biden. I saw him give the warm-up speech for Biden when he appeared at the Summerfest grounds at Laborfest this fall. But I think that it's essential that he start to play hardball, and I think he'd be very good at it because he's such a likable figure. Because it's pretty hard. The Republicans describe him as some sort of sleazy political character. It just doesn't stick, right? Because it's
no.
obviously not the case.
You know, Dr. Craig, the Republicans can talk about the reason that those resources are there in the state coffers. We do know they're COVID dollars that haven't been spent, clearly. We know that that's part of it. And yet the Republicans are saying we don't want any additional spending because once this money runs out, we'll wind up in deficit. But you can't say that, Dr. Craig, and then out of the other side of your mouth ask for a flat tax and a cut in taxes that is also going to rot at the end of that deficits.
No, that's where it puts the lie to their argument. They are a party built on hypocrisy. And so, I mean, just for example, the Republicans claim there's a nationally, the new radical House majority claims there's a national debt crisis. Every time the Republicans have full control, they run up the national debt. And Trump set records right for national debt, partly because of the massive tax giveaway, the Trump tax cuts. Then they come back and say, we need to shut down the government and cut Medicare and Medicaid because of the debt crisis. And so in this case, they're saying it's one-time money. Okay, then they're saying they want to permanently change the tax code, not just give a one-time tax rebate. I'm not saying that would be a good idea either, but if it's one-time money, why are we permanently changing the tax code? And let's look at Scott Walker. Scott Walker dramatically cut corporate taxes massively because that was going to increase economic growth. Their economic performance and growth have been much behind Minnesota, which did the opposite. Minnesota raised taxes on the wealthiest in corporations, and they've grown much faster and produced much more jobs. And there's no reality doesn't matter to these folks. They're ideologues because they're simply serving their masters, the people who actually fund their campaigns. Always remember, Robin Voss is not the power. He is simply the shill for the power hiding behind the throne, the biggest corporate interests and the ultra wealthy.
You know, Dr. Craig, this is a time that if ever there was a time to break the yoke of what has been happening with this conservative movement in this state now. Let's see, going back to Scott Walker's years. And you know, at that point in time, if you think about the power of the Republican Party when Scott Walker first ascended to power in this state, you had, you know, Ron Johnson, you had Rance Priebus, you had the speaker at Paul Ryan, you had, you know, Robin Voss, you had Scott Fitzgerald. I mean, the Republicans had sheer power in the state. That's kind of part of that's been broken now. Isn't it time now to kind of bury what really caused us the consternation and pain in this state for that decade or so under that leadership?
Yes, but we need to play the medium game here. It's not really the long game. Governor Evers needs to stand them down, and then they're going to act badly. We of course open up the olive branch. So if they act better, then you work with them. That's not likely to happen. But then they expose them to the public, and we get a real Supreme Court in the spring election. We get Democratic maps, Democratic small d, that is, you know, actually, we actually get a legislature elected by the voters, and you have the issues to run on. And so that he's got to be thinking about how to get the best he can now with this legislature, about how to set it up so he has a really good legislature. He has the opportunity, if he does this well, and he'll ethically get everything he can now, but to set it up so his last 2 years actually have a legislature that he can work with, and he could actually go and do a lot of the things they blocked him from doing. And they're going to do a lot of things like the House Republicans, Earl. There are opportunities. For example, you know, Ron DeSantis went and the ultimate cultural warrior, who might be their presidential frontrunner, went and banned the AP class for African American history. Well, you know what? That bill is coming to Wisconsin. You watch.
Yeah, but not only did he ban that, there are many other books that they've decided that they're going to ban, and yet there are people who agree, not even knowing what the outcome of any of those things are going to be. You know, Dr. Craig.
It's division and hatred, right? And so, I mean, they apparently some of these districts have banned the letter from Birmingham Jail,
yes.
One of the most eloquent, maybe the most eloquent thing Martin Luther King Jr., who has a national holiday, ever did.
You know, Dr. Craig, I was talking earlier again, and I mentioned it to you a little earlier about my fear of where this nation is headed. And when your enemy is your countryman, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to understand that we're worrying about people coming from the border, crossing the border. But this enemy is now whether or not you're a Democrat if you're a Republican. And they see you as that, as the enemy. And Dr. Craig, the nation can't prosper under that way of thinking. And I want to know your thoughts about whether or not we can, as we start to wind down, whether or not we can overcome that and what that's going to take. Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action, is on the line. Phone lines are open. 844-967-2789. We'll be right back. Show, man, 3 hours really flies. You know, I'm so blessed and honored to have great guests who really provide just knowledge and inspiration to us on these airways. So Dr. Craig, who's been just a brilliant person who has over the years giving us the guidance and direction, me especially, when it comes to these issues on the state and the national level. Happy that he's with us every Wednesday at 10 a.m. But let me do this. Let's go to the phone lines and Eric from Tulsa. Eric, thank you very much. How you doing, my friend? Thank you for listening. What do you say?
Earl and Dr. Craig?
Yes, sir.
I'd like to say snow is beautiful. And I'd like to say first real quick to what you were talking about earlier, Earl, about Aaron Rodgers is for the first time in 30 years, I can say it's nice to be a Lions fan right now.
Yeah. So am I, though, man. Go ahead.
So I'd like to say Governor Evers, you know, as it seems since he first kind of elevated to the governor's, you know, role and even in the race prior, he's an administrator by nature. And he's administering, you know, the current Democratic agenda. And that's kind of the way he's always been. And we'd like to see a fighter. But, you know, I remember during the beginning of the pandemic, Governor Cuomo was up there and he was kind of out there and really, you know, pushing things and getting things done, quote unquote, and all this and doing those daily press conferences. And I was envious. But look at what's turned out, you know, how it was then and how it's looking now is not the same for Governor Cuomo. So, yeah, Governor Evers, you know, he's a good guy, but it seems like he's definitely not the fighter that a lot of us would really hope for. And I'd like to close really quickly by trying to answer what you said earlier or what you're asking earlier, Earl, was like, you know, how are we going to get through this? And it seems to me like, you know, we really need kind of a new dream, a new vision to incentivize, you know, the millions of disengaged citizens, like looking at something like what Stacey Abrams did in Georgia. Because now you ask, like, what are we the people living for these days, you know, beyond kind of consuming, working, and fighting with our neighbors, you know, and it seems to me that the state of Wisconsin is a microcosm of the country in that sense, is we just need something different to look forward to, something different to kind of live for, especially for the youth. Not so, you know, I like to say my future is now, but for my children and our children, everyone's children, it seems, when they're going to step up to be 18 and get engaged, they're going to need a new vision. And it seems that's kind of lacking. It seems we all kind of are just playing a role. And it would be good to see somebody or something kind of be able to, you know, create something for people to look forward to.
Eric, you know, I always, you know, value your input. And you didn't do anything to harm what I have always believed and felt. With you and your belief and how you look at things. And again, another great response. Thank you very much. Dr. Craig, you want to respond to Eric?
Earl.
Go ahead.
I would say just, I'm sorry, on a state level, I'd like to see something in the state, you know, with the Democrats, and even if it's not something that's going to get passed currently, but something brought forward constantly is similar to what they've done with the indigenous nations here in the state, is like a statewide level version of H.R. 40, you know, and to investigate and to look into the past and our history and our collective history.
So thank you, Eric. We got to run. Dr. Craig?
Yeah, thank you.
Well, there was a lot to what Eric said there. I would just say, as far as the vision he was talking about for young people, I think we have two crises in democracy, Earl. We have the attack on the mechanisms of democracy, voter suppression, having legislative maps that are not rigged for one party's control, and also, you know, the threat of actually overturning elections, which we saw with Donald Trump, which is an ongoing threat. So we have all of that. But then we also have the threat to democracy, that you need a democracy people can believe in. And that means one that delivers for average people, that does what the New Deal and the Great Society did and the great 20th century tradition of the Democratic Party. And that is also missing. And that's something that a Governor Evers doesn't really add either. I mean, there are young people who are being disenfranchised, right, and would like to vote. There are others who have lost hope, don't see what the point is. And so you need to deal with student debt. I mean, we've disinvested in college education and put it all on the younger generation, and then they have less economic opportunity. So for the first time in a long time, a college degree isn't even necessarily worth the investment. So how are you going to get a good job? How are we going to take the emerging green jobs, which we need to address the climate crisis, and we need to make sure we're doing that, but to create jobs in a way that are high-paying jobs, that create hope and opportunity for people, and that people clearly see is connected to having a good government. You see, people understood in the New Deal who was doing it. And that's what backed down. There was a very greedy corporate elite in the late 19th, early 20th century, and it crashed the whole economy into the Great Depression through its excessive profit-seeking and speculation. And what happened is that they were brought to heel by Franklin Delano Roosevelt and by the whole New Deal movement and by the labor movement. And they actually behaved much better for the whole post-war period until in the 1970s it turned again and greed took over. And that's what's led to the current period of a new inequality, a new Gilded Age. And that is damaging democracy because too many people have lost hope. And it's rational decision. Their lives don't change, whoever's in office. They don't see a big change because Governor Evers is in office. They need to.
You know, Dr. Craig, very well said. You know, I think, you know, that's, we have to leave it right there. I don't see how if we had any additional time, we could top what you just pointed out. Always great talking to you, my friend. Looking forward to next Wednesday already.
Always a pleasure, Earl. Thank you.
All right, Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action. Thank you, Connor. Thank all of you who made the show go. You know, where would we be without you? Always enjoy having this opportunity. Gotta go. See you on tomorrow. You've been tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. See you later. I got some honeysuckle chocolate dip and kisses full of love for you. Oh, yes, I got some candy kisses for your lips. Yes, I got some honeysuckle chocolate dip and